Reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verses 44 to 48. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold the water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they invited him to stay for several days. And over to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. The first eight verses were read last Sunday and follow on from "I am the vine and you are the branches." So reading from verses 9 to 17. "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Oh, 17. Oh, sorry.
Can you go back the two slides? I think we... This one in particular, seeing I'm preaching on it.
Sorry, I left my thing at home. Down to 17, sorry. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
That's okay. Left your sheet at home. I always say to families, even for funerals and for weddings, I don't promise you perfect, I promise you respectful. And I think that's important. We're here to worship God, not to put on a performance. And occasionally, little things go wrong, and how we treat each other when that happens is actually a sign of our maturity, because we're a community of having a go, which means if we're going to be a community of having a go, we have to be a community of forgiving each other when things don't go right. So let's look at ourselves in the vine. Look at ourselves in the reality that we don't always get things right. We don't always get what we wish for. How do we know? How do we know if this is pruning or being cut off? Jesus actually says very clearly here is if what we're doing is bearing fruit, if what we're doing is growing towards the kingdom of God, if what we're doing is showing the love of God to each other and to the world, you can't do that unless you're in the vine. And Jesus says, live in my love, and no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You're about to see the ultimate demonstration of my love for you. And wouldn't that have been seen as an enormous pruning, an enormous loss? But then he has this bit where he says, I'm not going to call you servants any longer. I'm going to call you my friends. That's an amazingly different relationship, especially when the word for servant in the New Testament has another equally valid translation in English, which is slave. They didn't have a word for servant. Your permanent servants were your slaves. I'm not going to call you my slaves any longer. I'm going to call you my friends. How does that change our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with God? A servant, a slave, exists by justice. A slave survives by knowing what the rules are, doing what the rules tell them to do, and avoiding punishment. That's really how you survive in those sort of high pressure, really tough relationships. Now, you've got to work out the unwritten laws as well as the written ones, which makes it really complex. But a slave lives in fear and tries to survive by following the rules. What does a friend do? A friend does what comes naturally, don't they? Because their love for their friends, their care for their friends, doesn't come from being told you have to do things, but from in your heart wanting the best for the people who are around you. Friends' relationship is not based on law, but on love and the mutual giving of each other to each other. Am I right? Jesus says, I'm not calling you servants any longer. I'm calling you friends. Next slide, please. Slaves have to be watched. Slaves, when you have slaves, slaves have to have slaves who are in charge of slaves. Or servants need to have little timesheets and things like that, don't they? You've got to make sure, you've got to have your measures and make sure that your servants are doing what they're being paid to do or being what they're employed to do. It's all about the checks and balances. But you trust your friends with your life. Jesus says, I don't call you servants any longer. I call you my friends. How do we know Jesus trusts us with his life? Already given it. And Jesus trusts us with the life of God within us each and every day. How's the working relationship between a master and a slave? When I grew up, my dad had a saying, there are two ways to do any job, the way I tell you to and again. I think we've all had bosses like that one, haven't we? A servant, the master does not need to care what the servant thinks of them. The master does not need to work with a slave. They just need to say, this is what needs to be done. Go and do it. That is not the relationship we are called to in the vine. We are told we are friends. How do you make plans with your friends? How do you dream with your friends? You talk, you dream, you listen, you try things out. It is all done. What you do is actually a function of that underlying relationship. Everything is done in and through the relationship. I am the vine. You are the branches. Everything we do in this life of faith we have is grounded in and in relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. Isn't that both extremely exciting and extremely scary? But this is the new reality Jesus is proclaiming. And we have the other passage which I threw in because those people, that passage comes from when Peter was called to go and visit a Roman centurion called Cornelius. Cornelius had been hearing about what this Jesus thing was and wanted to know more. And Peter was struggling because to even go into a Roman's house was to make yourself ritually unclean. And he goes and prays about it, and God goes, I don't just want you to go into your house. I want you to eat with him. And Peter goes, God, he's going to serve me things that are unclean. He's going to do things that will offend me and offend my understanding of who you are and what it means to live as a faithful servant to you. And God says, what I've made clean, guess what? That's clean. And after that time, it's interesting. After they sit down and eat and talk with the people, the Holy Spirit comes upon this group of Romans and they begin talking in tongues. They begin praising God. Now, there's other fruits of the spirits than talking in tongues. Thank God, goodness for that. There's lots of other gifts of the Spirit. It's not just a monoculture vine. But they saw the fruits of God's Spirit in these people who were so different to them and said, we know where that fruit comes from. You might be different to us, but we can see the fruit of God at work in you. And while we may be so very different, we are also one in the vine. Had a Catholic lady come and pray with me a couple of weeks ago, or a week and a bit ago. Walked into this room and she goes, don't you genuflect? And I go, oh no, I don't do that often. And she goes, do you mind if I do? And I said, no, of course. What you're doing is, and when the Catholics and Anglicans come in, the first thing they do is they acknowledge the enormity of what it means to worship God. And they stop. And they make a gesture of reverence. That brings glory to God, doesn't it? And it helps them prepare for the task of worship. Usually when you see me head up there, it's like a two-year-old heading up to their parent. That reflects my simple faith. I don't leave the presence of God, so running up there is just as much a part of my life as anywhere else. In fact, I think it's easier to be a Christian up there than down here. But I'll get up in the space. Because I have control of the situation up here. That's the world. It's scary. Things are outside our control. It's easy to be a Christian until someone cuts in front of you in traffic. But we are called. We are called to abide in God's love. And the fruits of that love will come flowing through us. That's what we're really on about when we come to communion later this morning. We have that moment where we stop and we remember. And we'll be singing it. Someone asked for it, but we're going to sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us. As we remember just how deep Jesus' love for us was and is and always will be. But then we say, we want that love to be part of us, and we want to be part of that love for our world. And in that, we all come together. In that, we are all one. And I pray that we may know both the pruning and the fruitfulness of God as we walk along this path together. Amen. So we'll sing.